You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Because a box and one would be paying extra attention to one person while having the other four players in zone. But in this case, you would just be ignoring the fifth dog on the court.
With Joshua Briscoe.
So perhaps a box and one.
It was really my pleasure to join you on the station for the last time in this final episode.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I just am incapable of feeling shame at this point. Sorry, guys. Every time it happens, I'm just continually tickled with myself. I can't imagine that Scott has ever stopped being angry about that pun, but, you know, that's how things go sometimes. And you might think it's best to let a sleeping dog lie. I disagree. Scott Chasen of Fog.net, that's the KU side of 247sports.com. You can go to Fog.net or Kansas.247sports.com to see all of Scott's work running that site. You can also follow him at Chasen Scott on Twitter. Scott, how are you doing? Did that liner change your mood in any way, one way or another?
No, what's funny here is, obviously, for anyone who doesn't know, the last time I came on the show, there was a funny liner that introduced me that made a joke about someone that I was recently talking to, just in terms of them being a source. So Josh went out of his way to make sure he would not offend a current source of mine so much that he dug up a liner about Air Bud basketball.
The only thing
I appreciate it. That's amazing.
The only thing you have wrong there is that was Rudy's idea, and then Beards dug it up. I'm just a bystander throughout most of the liner choices that get made, because they're often at my expense. That one just highlighted perhaps maybe my proudest moment on the airwaves.
Yeah, I mean, that one is also fine until I start looking to interview Air Bud, and then all of a sudden he's going to be mad at me, too.
You're going to be working on a story with a bunch of the Air Buddies, and then that liner is going to pop up, and all of a sudden you're going to realize that you have offended Air Bud 1. But, you know, listen, that's sometimes this industry is messy, and sometimes you got to interview a dog that you badmouth on the radio one time.
Yeah, I was trying to think of, on the fly, I mean, you'd be better at this than me. Do we call those, like, bad mouth? Is there, like, any kind of specific dog pun you think I could start throwing out or working into my appearances? See, when you give me a liner like that,
yeah,
I always try to find a way to make it circle back around, but I'm really coming up flat here.
Yeah, I mean, I tried saying that we should let a sleeping dog lie. That was sort of my kind of subtle loop around, but honestly, at this point, I think it'd probably be best for everybody if we just put that one down and moved on.
That's pretty good.
Thank you for the validation. You tweeted about this and texted me about this, and I figured I would just ask you for clarification now. Can you please explain, and really at this point, amplify your latest TV recommendation and explain why this show is worth watching?
Well, they're paying me to promote it. No,
good. Get that bag.
No, I did tell Beards about it, too, just because I have to have something to talk with Beards about. My life isn't very exciting, so it's television. No, I'm just watching. I found it, I think I've watched everything that's on Netflix now.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking for something new to watch. I found a show. It's called Alice in Borderland, like Alice in Wonderland, but Borderland, and nothing at all like what I imagined. I've never actually seen Alice in Wonderland, but I can't imagine the two are conceptually similar.
Have you played the video game Borderlands?
No.
It's also not related to that, so.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's about these kids who wake up, and similar, I guess, to Alice in Wonderland, they're in a different world, but it's a kind of dystopia with, like, they have to play these lethal games, a bunch of people die, it's a horror series. It kind of combines, like, Cabin in the Woods with The Hunger Games, with Black Mirror. It's really dark. It's not a family show, but it is a good show, and it's really distressing and stressful. And so if you need a little bit more anxiety in your life, I highly recommend it.
So this is the
thing.
I'm
always looking for anxiety.
This is the thing. It's also, this is where I feel like it might be more up Rudy's alley.
Mm-hmm.
It
definitely sounds like it's up my alley.
Well, it's also, hold on. Did you even mention that this is a Japanese series that is either subbed or dubbed over to English?
Yeah, well, look, the subtitles I've been told are the way to go. I will say this. The dubbing is fine, but it's like, I think Netflix probably needs to do a better job with dubbing, where it isn't like so ridiculous over-the-top voice acting.
Yeah.
And look, I feel for the people who are in voice acting and whose job it is to do the dubbed whatevers, because, like, look, they can only do so much, and they have to act with all this extra emotion because, you know, whatever's going on. But sometimes it gets a little bit over the top, a little bit crazy. That being said, I didn't find it that distracting. But yes, it was a I'm assuming almost all the characters are Japanese or Asian, and there are a lot of characters. But yeah, it's, the whole thing takes place in somewhere in Japan. I can't remember where
Tokyo.
Right now. Oh yeah, but it's one of the districts. It's a specific district there.
Gotcha.
It also is apparently based on a manga.
Yeah.
I looked it up
and read it.
All of this is that even if this doesn't hit for me or Beards, this feels like you and Rudy are going to have something to talk about next time.
I haven't watched like a bunch of them yet, but Netflix has like a weirdly good amount of Japanese, like Netflix original Japanese original series.
Yeah.
That from like what I've heard there's a lot of just like truly fantastic stuff.
There you go.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
It's not anime or cartoon, although, you know, that there have probably been a few series that I've liked that are, but it's like live action and acting and huge budget, and it's kind of crazy. It's pretty cool.
What's the worst thing that you've watched on Netflix? You said you feel like you've watched pretty much everything on Netflix at this point. What did you watch and you were like, boy, Howie, I would like my time back, please?
That's such a good question, because I know there are things on there that I've watched that I've hated. And there are things that I've watched on there that I loved the first time and then watched again. And I was like, wow, this was actually bad.
Interesting.
I think, what was the one? Maybe it was like Always Be My Maybe or something.
That's a thing. I've heard of that.
I watched that the first time. I think it was that. It might have been something else. And I was like, wow, this is hilarious. This is heartwarming. It's great. And then I watched it again and I was like, I do not know what I was thinking. I don't know. Do you have one that comes to mind while I think of one?
No, I really don't. I will try to filibuster, because whenever we shortly after Valentine's Day, we did power rankings of like rom-coms, and I didn't note that one of the only like I think kind of true rom-coms that I've really enjoyed was About Time, which is something that you and Sean Collins both bullied me about until I watched it, and it was very good. But no, I think I'm currently in a place right now where I have started rewatching. Like Renee and I have started. I mean, you have to put in the girlfriend part for new listeners. Mm-hmm. It keeps everybody up to date.
Yeah.
Girlfriend Renee and I have watched. We started rewatching New Girl on Netflix just because it's like a good thing to have like just going on while I'm playing Hades or Animal Crossing on my Switch or something. Peacock, I've bit the bullet on, so Parks and Rec and The Office are there, just like the rewatch options.
Yeah.
But I really don't know if there's been anything that I've watched and bailed. You know what? Actually, the fourth season of Arrested Development did that for me, and I eventually powered through. But that was one of those things like, well, this really wasn't worth my time.
Yeah, I have one. Was the show The Blacklist with like James Spader?
Yes, Blacklist.
Other people. Yeah, I watched, I think, two-ish seasons of that show, and then I realized there were like 1,000 more episodes, and every single episode was exactly the same. And I was like, no, I do not know how you can do this. But like the first couple seasons were pretty good, but no, I did not have the energy to make it through more of that.
I'm the same. I think I've seen either two or three seasons of it also, and I honestly thought it had been canceled because I just like didn't see it anywhere for a while, and then all of a sudden it was at season 7. And I never decided to continue watching, like, once I realized, like, oh, they made, like, 4 more seasons of the show, because I essentially figured the same thing you thought. Like, it was good. I think it's one of those shows that, like, I just don't know how you add anything original after, like, 2 or 3 seasons. Like, you're just doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and think about, like, Criminal Minds, which has, like, 28 seasons.
Yes.
Now, I love Criminal Minds. I've seen
great
way
show.
More than 2 or 3 seasons.
I've seen
but,
it all, yeah. It's
like,
great.
There are times in my life where I can watch Criminal Minds, and there are times in my life where I would want to do nothing less than watch an episode of Criminal Minds, because I've seen 1,000 of them. So it comes and goes, and those are rewatchable too. But no, I did a horrible job explaining it earlier, just because I'm literally on my second rewatch of it already, or my first rewatch, my second watching. But no, the thing that drew me to Alice in Borderland is I love puzzles, and I love games that you, the audience, get to figure out, and in this case, life and death situation. So obviously any mistake, people are going to die. But it divides the games into 4 categories, which I think are really interesting, and they come with cards. And one is like it's a type of game that's a physical test. One is a mental test. One is a teamwork test. And then the fourth category of the game is kind of ambiguous, but it's the nastiest. It's the kind of game like it shows up and it's like you don't want to be in this place when this is happening. You just want to avoid it at all costs. But the characters don't know, they can't avoid things ahead of time. And it always sets the tone for the episode. It creates like this really ominous nature, especially because the games are numbered in difficulty. So you might start a game and find out it's the hardest difficulty in the hardest category and look around and say, everyone in this room is probably going to die. And it makes it really interesting. The stakes are really high, and it does a good job of establishing characters. Already been renewed for a second season.
I'm absolutely going to. This is going on my list. I'm absolutely going to.
I put it on
this.
My list, and Scott told me that I was never going to watch it, even though it was on my list, which is honestly a fair bet. I just, you know. It's a good sales pitch.
You got to get to episode 3. That's all I would say. You got to get to episode 3.
I haven't seen it, but another one, like one of the Japanese dramas on Netflix that I've heard is amazing, is Erased, which it seems like, again, I haven't watched it, so like I have my rough understanding. It seems to be kind of like, I don't know if you remember Butterfly Effect, like the old Ashton Kutcher movie from way back in the day.
I remember the poster.
It seems like a good version of that made into a TV show.
Good stuff, Scott. Thanks for being on with us tonight.
Well, I don't know.
I mean,
know
he provided me a new TV show.
No. I wasn't. No, that wasn't. Listen, what happened there is I thought maybe you would have something on that. Maybe Rudy would have something on it.
I realized I had
nothing else. And then I thought, well, I could just make a joke about hanging up on you, and then we could talk about KU.
I'm all in, though, on Alice in Borderland.
I imagine that you saw Knives Out at some point, Scott.
No, I didn't. I looked up the Wikipedia description because I didn't have the patience to go and see it.
Really? That's disappointing. I finally watched it a couple weeks ago, and it's not a puzzle movie by any means, but I really enjoyed it. And I was going to say, if you haven't seen it, it's worth watching. I don't know if it would be as lovely while having known what happened via Wikipedia, but it was really good. I enjoyed it. It was very pleasant.
No, it sounded like it was a really great movie. I think if I'm remembering correctly, it came out around the time of maybe a little bit before the NCAA tournament last year. And I remember I kept wanting to go see it and kept getting busy. And then finally I was like, you know what? Wikipedia is a thing that exists. And why would I go watch a movie when I can read, 300 words about it, and know everything that happens?
I guess I'm going to go read the Wikipedia entry for Alice in Borderland and then tell you how much I loved it.
It's pretty expensive.
Okay, maybe I'll just watch the show. I do have a handful of things I'd like to talk to you about around KU, and also just some of the things going on in the Big 12 specifically at the moment. Baylor, West Virginia earlier tonight was really was a barn burner, as the kids say, but Baylor won that after losing to KU on Saturday night. What did you make of that, of the way that game played out, and what you thought was the most interesting takeaway from KU-Baylor?
Well, KU-Baylor and Baylor-West Virginia I kind of put together, and I watched the end of Baylor-West Virginia just because I maybe not predicted is the right word, but I started noticing, late in the game, the narrative very quickly becoming, well, Baylor's rusty, Baylor's this, and sure, I'm guessing Russ had something to do with it, but that Baylor team that was too rusty to hit a shot on Saturday only had 3 turnovers. Mm. That Baylor team that was apparently really rusty on Saturday got a lot of the normal looks it gets with just great players and great shooters, and some of them didn't fall on the road in an environment in Allen Fieldhouse with 2,600 listed fans. But I would tell you, one, I think there were more than that, and two, that environment was better than some non-conference games I've been to when Kansas has had 16-3 in there. I mean, the people who were there were loud, and maybe you've seen that at times in other sports. You know, if you get the right people in there, it doesn't always matter how many are there. I think the Bills had a game like that, where sometimes if you just get crazy enough people in there, you can make the environment, crazy. And it was senior night and Marcus Garrett played well, whatever. But I came away from that game thinking, Baylor's rust probably had less to do with it than Kansas being extra juice with Baylor having already beaten Kansas, with Baylor being ranked so highly, with it being senior day. And that was really validated with, watching Baylor take down West Virginia in overtime. I think Jared Butler might have fouled out in overtime or late in regulation of that game. And again, it's like, wow, this Baylor team that was too rusty to be on the court against Kansas just took down the number 6 team on the road. That's interesting. That tells me, maybe that the difference between those two games was one, why did Baylor look so bad offensively against Kansas, so good offensively against West Virginia? Well, Kansas's defense is up to number 8 in the country on KenPom, whereas West Virginia's is, I believe, 55th. So that tells you that Kansas is actually doing a lot of things right and a lot of things really well. And I think that Baylor win looks better and better based off the result that happened today.
What do you think it is that has made this Kansas defense so exceptional, especially as of late? Because listen, like I do not consider myself to be like an expert basketball strategist. You're going to say some things here that I'm going to understand, but I'm not going to be able to write all this down ahead of time. I understand that Marcus Garrett is an extremely good defender. That makes sense to me. But KU as a unit, I feel like I personally have a much harder time making all of that make sense in a way that you can look and go, oh yeah, well I see the result here, but what's the process there? What has KU done to put up these recent defensive performances as an entire team?
Well, I just say this. Sometimes I think, as much as we dive into the weeds with football and basketball about, you know, strategy, individual things, sports are a lot simpler at times than mm-hmm. I think people like myself like to make them. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I can be guilty of overcomplicating. You know, a good example, hey, the Chiefs lose the Super Bowl. Well, it wasn't because of some route concept that Tampa Bay scouted really mm-hmm. well and they had this counter. No, it was the Chiefs' offensive line was really, really hurt. And Tampa Bay got to the quarterback. Okay, mm-hmm. game over. That pretty much decided the game. And a lot of KU's games have kind of followed that pattern. You know, KU loses to Texas, gets blown out. KU shoots horribly from three, like 3 for 22 or something, and Texas shoots like 45% from three. And the difference there is 25 points in terms of made threes or whatever it was. And like, boom, that's the difference. And to me, you know, it's a little more complicated to say, well, why is KU better on defense? But I think that the biggest thing is that KU's doing things they're better at on defense now. And before, you know, KU was asking David McCormick to play like he was a big man that he wasn't, to, you know, ice a ball screen, to force a ball handler to one side of the court and recover. And, you know, maybe he wasn't the best at that. But you know what he is really good at is trapping the ball handler. Mm. He's really good about sliding his feet on the perimeter as compared to, you know, running back and being out of position and then being, you know, super athletic and making a block. That's not really his game. So Kansas said, okay, we're going to try something. We're going to trap a little bit more in the perimeter. We're going to have the guards rotate behind David McCormick. And the results were pretty good. And, you know, at first it was a bit of a struggle. The guards would mess up their assignments, I would say, borderline routinely. Mm-hmm. Guys like Christian Brown, Jalen Wilson didn't really know what they were doing. But then what happens? You play it more, you get used to your new system, and then, boom, all of a sudden this team makes a dramatic defensive improvement. So, I mean, the real schematic change is probably changing how they rotate and changing how, you know, what David McCormick does, what his responsibility is. But the simple answer is KU changed its defensive scheme. They needed time. They've had it, and now they're better at it. And that's, you know, as simple as that. You know, Bill Self doesn't coach bad defenses with maybe the exception of like 1 or 2 years. He doesn't coach bad defenses. He's a great defensive coach, and he's figured out his defense. They've had time to learn it, and, you know, there you go. Kansas makes a big jump.
Another thing that I've found interesting that I don't know if we have enough of a sample size over the course of the entire season seems funny at this point because we've had this entire season, but especially over just the Texas and Baylor games, it feels like there are three different versions of KU for the most part, with McCormick playing as well as he has as of late. You've got McCormick in four guards, you've got five guards, and you've got Mitch Lightfoot in four guards, and obviously there's a lot more going on there, but I guess Lightfoot's minutes seem like they went very, very differently from the Texas game to the Baylor game, and having some excellent moments and a good stretch against Baylor, and having some very visible ones whenever McCormick was dealing with foul trouble against Texas. But do you think that there's something to the idea that there are these kind of like three different little Kansas teams within the one, and how each of those have performed as of late, even maybe back before the Texas game, whenever I started paying attention?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, David McCormick has been, and I spoke about this last time, obviously he's been Kansas's best option, you know, when it comes to, you know, whatever lineup you want to run, four guards around him. Mitch Lightfoot has been the one that I think has really faded, has really struggled. He was really, really bad against Texas. And you know what? He was really, really bad in the first half against Baylor. Mm. But he turned it around in the second half. He played only 8 minutes in the second half, but he had about a five-minute stretch there. Maybe it was like 3 minutes.
Where I had four in my head for some reason, and I could not tell you for the life of me why.
Well, he changed the game down that stretch. He scored 4 points. He had 3 of his 4 rebounds in the second half. He took a charge in that run, and he went on a 7-0 run. Now, Kansas doesn't beat Baylor without David McCormick. He scored 20 points. Mm-hmm. He was sensational. He didn't get a bunch of rebounds. I think he had 3 offensive rebounds, and that was it. But also, if you actually watch the when he's on the glass, there aren't a ton of times where the ball bounces his way and he just fumbles it to an opponent. That's more of a Mitch Lightfoot, he'll get out-muscled for the ball at time kind of thing. Whereas with David McCormick, he's usually boxing out his guy. But unlike Doak, and Udoka Azubuike was good enough to box his guy and then the super athlete who could still jump up and get it, David McCormick doesn't quite have that. So he's usually in a place where he takes his guy off the glass. David McCormick's man is not going to get that offensive rebound. But then it's up for one of the other KU guards to rebound it. And, again, lucky for KU, they have guards who can. Jalen Wilson is an excellent rebounder. Christian Brown is an excellent rebounder. It's why those five-guard lineups work at times. But, the five-guard lineups are interesting because for them to really work their best, they have to, punish the other team offensively, and they don't always do that. And a good example is, again, that Texas game. McCormick gets into foul trouble. The five guards, play really, really well. I think they had a plus-minus of maybe plus 13 or plus 11, plus 14, something like that. And fans won it in the second half. Well, they did use it in the second half, and they had a minus 11.
Yeah.
So they got outscored by 11 points when they were on the court. But fans still after the game will say, we'll ask at least me and I'm sure other reporters questions like, well, the five guards are working. Why didn't they go back to that? And it's like, no, they did. It's just they don't always work. It's very situational. And once a team gets into a groove against it offensively and it's not bothered by the quickness of it and it gets used to playing against it, well, all of a sudden that's kind of danger zone. There's not many, pivots and answers you can go to there. Whereas with David McCormick, a team starts double teaming him because he's going off like so many have tried to do. And then he passes. He throws it out to the perimeter. He's become a very good, passer for KU. So I think all three lineups are important. I think all three have a place on the court, even Mitch Lightfoot. I think there are times where McCormick gets into foul trouble and you need a big man in the game. But at the same time, other than 4 guards around David McCormick, I'm not sure Kansas has one that should be 100% guaranteed, 20, 25 minutes a game, foul trouble notwithstanding. Just because that's the best of the three, and then the other two have had their times where they're really, really good and had their times where, quite frankly, they're really, really bad.
I want to look way too far down the road in a second, but I personally was a little bit surprised that they actually did not only find a team, but then pull the trigger on this UTEP game coming up on Thursday. Were you surprised at all that that did happen, or does that feel like a Bill Self thing to you?
So, funny enough, before anyone had brought it up, it was after a game, and I was thinking about asking Bill Self about it, but then I kind of like double-clutched, and I was like, maybe this is like a midweek press conference kind of topic. Mm-hmm. He's probably going to say no. He's probably not interested. This is like the dumb stuff journalists come up with that,
right,
like teams would never actually do. But then I brought it up. I was actually on a good buddy of yours of mine, Nick's show, and I brought it up there, and I thought, maybe. And Nick joked they should schedule Missouri, and I said I did not think there was a chance in the world that would happen for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
Especially with 2,500. But it started to make more and more sense then, and the reason being that you're going to have this 11-day layoff if you get all your games in. And, I don't like using the word punished like this, but that essentially like punishes you for taking care of business. It's like, congratulations, you got all your games in, you got everything in on time. Now you get 2 weeks, don't get rusty. Like, figure it out.
Yeah.
And, if you want to give a team like Baylor credit for the rust it gets for 3 weeks with going through what it was going through, you certainly would never volunteer to put yourself in that position. So I think for KU to find the opponent, first of all, they had to agree to Big 12 testing policy, which is 3 tests where everyone is negative on non-consecutive days in the week leading up to the game. So that's a pretty good way to do it. At least it's played out that way for Kansas this year. And it made sense that, my prediction when we were talking about the game they would pick was that they wouldn't pick a great team, but they also wouldn't pick a terrible team because they wouldn't want it to mess with their metrics. And they also would want to keep, the players kind of in that zone playing against decent competition. And I thought a TCU level of team, just like metrics wise, would be the kind of place they would go. And I can't remember it exactly. I think UTEP's a little bit worse, maybe closer to Iowa State. But, that's essentially what you're getting is the tune-up game, keep you locked in. You get 5 or 6 days off beforehand. You get 4-ish days off afterward or whatever it is. I might have that backward, but you get a little bit of a break on both sides. Bill Self said they could take a couple days off still if they needed to, both before and after. And then you actually get a game. You get to stay in the flow of that. So it makes sense. It's a little scary because you can always test positive, and then, boom, your postseason is just done. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously a worst-case scenario. But, you know, I think Bill Self probably looked at it and said, you know, how safe can Kansas make it? And what is the benefit? And I think there is a benefit to kind of staying in that groove and staying in basketball rhythm.
I think you kind of already answered the bulk of this, but I wanted to find out specifically, like, do you think that they're going to treat this, I was going to say like an exhibition game. It doesn't seem like it would make sense for them to have even done this if that was going to be the mindset. But, I mean, does this then just get treated like a normal, like, reasonably legitimate non-con game where you start pulling your guys as soon as you have that large lead in the second half? Or is there a chance that, like, Mitch Lightfoot gets significant minutes even whenever the game's still closed or something like that to try to experiment with anything? Or is this just, hey, let's run out our future tournament starting lineup and all of that and just try to stay in form?
Yeah, I think this is probably a very similar scenario to, like, the last two decades when Kansas has clinched the Big 12, there's nothing to play for, and then they play a team that's just kind of middle of the Big 12, and it's like, you're probably going to win by how much. Now, I'm sure they would love to be up 25 in the second half and pull everyone, but my guess is this will be closer to, you know, a 10-15-point game. I think UTEP's actually a little bit better, certainly than its record, if you look at some of the metrics and some of the individual games they've played. But, you know, it's UTEP. It's not, you know, they're not playing a top 25 team. They're not playing a team that should realistically test or even, you know, beat them. Mm-hmm. So I think they'll probably just take it seriously from the perspective of, you know, treat it like a real game. Don't try anything crazy. But I do think from the perspective of, I'm sure they're working on stuff that they want to be able to throw at, you know, teams. And they're not going to show all of it because you save stuff for the tournament. But I'm sure they'll work in a new wrinkle or try a new play or try something and just see, you know, hey, what does this look like against live competition, against someone who scouted you? And I think it'll be interesting from that perspective because, you know, it's calling it a tune-up game feels kind of offensive to, like, UTEP, especially because, like I said, UTEP is not a terrible team. UTEP is fairly decent, but that's what it is. I mean, Kansas has higher aspirations than going out in the Sweet 16 this year. You know, Bill Self spoke about the storybook season is over, and this was a long time ago he said this, but the storybook ending is still possible. And a storybook ending is not you win two games or even three in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. A storybook ending is you find a way to go on a run and get to a Final Four. Now, if Kansas had beat Texas, which they probably should have, they had a lot of chances at the end of that game, and in overtime they were leading when McCormick fouled out, you know, with like a minute or whatever left, you know, then Kansas is really going to Kansas City in a week thinking, you know, hey, a two seed is not off the table. And even now it isn't, but, you know, you probably have to have everything break perfect. I think most people have Kansas as a three seed right about now. So, you know, for Kansas, you go into the tournament as a three seed. It's not about necessarily, you know, how can you improve your seed line compared to how can you be playing your best basketball and how can you be as sound and good a team that's able to go on a run, basically compared to everyone else. And I think that's the purpose here. I think what they're taking seriously is if you don't do something in the tournament or I suppose the Big 12 tournament, what have you done this season other than play a bunch of games and win a good percentage of them? And I know Bill Self has said this year it's less important or it's kind of more important just to get through the season, which is fair because, you know, sports in the coronavirus era, it's all different. But I think they would like something to show for their season. And in order to do that, you know, they have to have a good March.
I was going to ask you about kind of expectations and even looking at the seed line way too far in advance and all of that. And you pretty much did that. So I'll leave you with this observation. You can't spell tune-up without UTEP. So I don't think it's offensive to UTEP. That's their basically literally their name.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of their brand. That's kind of like, I mean, I don't know how this comparison makes sense, so you'll have to think about it.
Okay.
But like when Austin Peay, the college, was leaning into the joke and putting up signs that said, "Let's go Peay," P-E-A-Y.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like they're leaning into their brand. So I guess that school's brand is bathroom jokes, and UTEP's brand is helping other teams get better at basketball.
And I'll tell you what, you know how, like, I don't know if you saw this, but like when the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl, I don't know if you saw that is the thing that happened. You mentioned it earlier, so I think you probably, I don't know if you watched or not. But then
what is the Super Bowl?
Well, so it's even crazier. You know the Patriots quarterback, Tom Brady?
Never heard of him.
He's the Tampa Bay quarterback. It's a long story. But you know.
Oh, the guy who likes the avocado ice cream.
Yeah, that guy. The dude, that random.
The middle-aged man
who got hammered on a boat a couple of weeks
Taysom
ago.
Taysom Hill was there.
No, he's in the other one. But, you know, after the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl, Tom Brady tweeted out, like, the video that's got, like, you know, sports talk. People go, Tom Brady's washed, blah, 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 all of those things. Mm-hmm. If UTEP beats KU, Scott, we're making their video after the fact. Me going, in fact, I'll give him a clean cut right here. You can't spell tune-up without UTEP. That's going to make it. That is going to ring through. I might be a part of, like, their hype video now in years to come, because that will play at the beginning, and then it's going to be their announcer going, and UTEP pulls the upset. Who, you can't spell upset without UTEP. Hello. I gave them both of them.
Who's Patrick Mahomes supporting? KU's a local team.
Oh, that was great.
But Jamal Bienemy is Eric Bienemy's nephew, and he plays for UTEP.
I forgot about that. You mentioned that. Yeah,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That connection's important.
They have another kid who's scoring a bunch of points this year. I forget his name, but he's actually pretty decent. A smaller guard.
Is it Jamal Bienemy, by chance? Because that's the only UTEP player I know.
It's a different player.
You can't spell put without UTEP. I'm out. I got tune up and upset. Those are the only two that I had. Scott, thank you for your TV recommendations, your basketball analysis, and for laughing at my god-awful puns. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, hey, also, you can, Scott, you know, are you still there? Scott, you can do this. Tell people about the deal on 247sports.com right now, and specifically go to fog.net, and what they can get for signing up right now, which I re-upped on today.
Well, thank you, Josh.
You're so welcome.
Yeah, if you're interested in KU content, fog.net, we're currently having a special on VIP access, which is gets you access to basically the entire network, the whole country, colleges, recruiting, team analysis, football, and basketball. It's 50% off, and if you sign up, I guess by the end of the day tomorrow, which would be Wednesday, you get CBS All Access, which is about to be Paramount Plus, for free, included for the lifetime of the subscription.
Ooh.
So it's a pretty good deal. I'd check it out.
So this is
the lifetime.
Yes.
Oh boy.
Yes. So you go sign up for that right now. It's a great deal. Here's the thing.
Deal might be too good.
Two things. One is, if you think you're going to sign up for Paramount Plus, go listen. I'm just going to let you in on a little secret here. Go do it at fog.net, and it helps support Scott and fog.net. This is an easy one, everybody.
Cheaper.
And it's cheaper.
It's a great deal.
Yeah.
It's cheaper for you. It's good for Scott. So we want to do that, everybody. All right, go do that. And also, I think your next, like, TV and basketball breakdown, you got to start watching things on Paramount Plus, and then you have that connection point right there. Netflix, not anymore. It's all Paramount Plus and 24/7 Sports.
You know what the best thing on Paramount Plus is currently, CBS All Access?
I don't know. No, what is it?
It's not a joke. It's just Frasier. Fantastic joke.
All right. Thank you for real now, Scott. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Scott Chasen, fog.net, 24/7 Sports, kansas.247sports.com. Seriously, I was a subscriber to 24/7 Sports, and my subscription came up, and I didn't have it renewed or whatever, and I saw this up there today. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get myself some CBS All Access, Paramount Plus, and all that great work at 24/7 Sports.
Paramount Plus for the lifetime. That's...
It, right
that
now...
That is clutch.
Right now, so it is...
I might have to do this.
So to get a year...
I'm going to do this.
To get a year of the fog.net VIP access is usually a $100 annual value.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sign up, get the whole deal for $50 for the year, and that's a year of Paramount Plus. I'm going to pay that for Peacock, and it doesn't even have great analysis about local college basketball teams.
And like, if for some of the people listening, if you're wondering, like, why do I need Paramount Plus, at the very least, you can watch Frasier. But then also, when football season comes around, it's the CBS football games. So that's the Chiefs. A decent amount.
Oh, no kidding?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know that.
Yeah, so CBS All Access is disappearing, right? Obviously, it's turning into Paramount Plus.
Were those on CBS All Access
yeah,
all year?
Yeah, so like,
wow.
That's where you would watch. So CBS All Access, part of it, like, obviously there is a backlog, right? So it's like with Peacock, but you also get to watch CBS, like the live channel. Like with Peacock, you can also watch, you know, NBC, the live channel. So like obviously during football season when football games are on, because that's how I used to I watch the Chiefs, or this last year I didn't because I was here all the time. Prior to that, I would have CBS All Access because I only worked home games, road games. I was home, so that's how I watched the Chiefs games. When I was when they were on the road.
Plus SpongeBob.
Who doesn't want SpongeBob?
Who doesn't want SpongeBob?
Who doesn't want SpongeBob?
Bitch, you want SpongeBob?
Not really.
I know you're an anti. I asked you, and I knew what the answer
was
going to be.
Who? How is anybody anti SpongeBob?
It's a great question.
I don't know how. I mean, Scott is anti Air Bud, so that also is surprising. I don't know, man. Guess everybody's got that thing.
If you go to fog.net right now, you can sign up through the KU side of all of that and help support Scott, who is. Given us.
Didn't think I had to spend money tomorrow, but here we go. $50, I'll gladly do it.
That's the thing, $50 for SpongeBob. If I just saw SpongeBob walking down the street, if I saw SpongeBob and Scott walking down the street, I would give each of them $25. I might give them both $50.
I'd just give them $50 and be like, hey, split it as you see fit.
I think it's a 30-20 split in favor of SpongeBob.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think Scott would admit to that.
Mm-hmm.
Is he still on the line? Sure isn't. He didn't need to be here for any of this. Don't blame him.
Human Torch says, I was too old and didn't smoke weed, so I'm out on SpongeBob.
I was exactly the right age, and 13 was that's when I smoked the most weed.
Human Torch, I don't know how old you are. I'm 30, and I was all in on SpongeBob, and still am.
SpongeBob hits a special... Beards, what age did you start smoking weed? Early teens?
No comment.
My 13th birthday party was pirate theme. My 14th birthday party theme? The Devil's Lettuce and SpongeBob. Paramount Plus.
Go Krabby Patty. The Devil's Lettuce.
Huh. Do you think that's where this segment was going to end up?
Nope.
I sure didn't. Thanks, Scott. Oh, you know what else? His bark's worse than his bite. Another dog pun.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Listen, are you sure you don't want me to wait till next week?
No.
Just get me first show of March?
No.
Are you sure? Okay, I'm here.
I got to have you on to talk weed.
I don't know why that's my brand. I don't know why that's my brand.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I completely forgot that liner ever existed, and I continue to not be... I understand why that's my brand. It's because at this point, the only option was to lean into it.
Mm-hmm.
And also my many, many crimes of Grindelwald streaming now on Freeform. It was on TV. This is something that came up, I guess, on Sunday. Did we talk about this last night? All of my days and all of my... radio mic openings
anymore.
Are just
no?
All the same thing. I think Blake and I talked about this on Sports Sunday at some then.
By the way, real fast, I don't know if you know this, Blake went to Austin Peay.
Oh, no, I don't. He mentions...
He puts the P in P.
He mentions that he played college football.
At Austin Peay.
I don't think he ever clarifies that. I think he just says D1 college
Division
college
1 AA.
Football. Is that true?
Yeah.
Maybe he says that.
Austin Peay is Division 1.
I saw him here earlier. So if he's within earshot right now, I know he might be able to hear me.
Yeah.
That man loves to mention that he played college football.
Yeah, I mean, hey, playing Division 1 AA football, like it's a billion divisions higher than I ever played.
Well, it's not a billion divisions
it's
high.
Like
it's
four.
Either infinite or it's like...
It's like four.
You know what? So I played... Hold on. I played flag football at Mid-American Nazarene one semester.
I played flag football at Wichita State, which was a Division I AAA school. Division I AAA means you don't have football.
Okay, because I was going to say, like, you might... But here's the thing. You might be able to just say you played football at Wichita State.
There was a club team.
That's technically true.
I one time thought maybe I'll try out for.
Oh, so you did not play on the club team. So you're level below that.
I was too lazy.
No one ever says this. Playing football is hard.
Yeah.
I don't know why we don't ever mention that, but it's a difficult thing.
It is. I don't like getting hit.
No.
I'm not actively trying to get hit.
No, getting hit sucks. No one ever just walks around like, hello, sir. Would you please hit me? It's been a while since I've gotten hit.
I don't play for the love of the game. I play for the cash. I'll admit it.
And there just wasn't as much money the Wichita State intramural football team as there could have been.
Austin Peay lost to Pittsburgh 55-0 in 2020.
Not a good.
Nope.
Not a good final score for.
So what does this have to do with the crimes of Grindelwald?
So on Sunday it came up that that was on TV.
I don't know why
Blake brought it up.
What this is that you're speaking of though? I don't know the show.
The Crimes of Grindelwald.
Nope.
It's all of Grindelwald's crimes and his Fantastic Beasts. Not only
is
it a completely forgettable movie, it's also an incredibly good My Brother and Me bit.
Gotcha. This is the Fantastic Beasts movie.
Correct.
I haven't actually seen the second one.
I saw the first one. I don't care to see the second one.
I haven't seen that.
The first one has the Red Man and
which one has
his Fantastic Beasts.
Which one has Mads in it?
That's the next one, I think.
I think he's new Johnny Depp. Yes.
He's new E-Bombs World, which is the name of the character. The Crimes of E-Bombs World. You guys remember E-Bombs World?
What are you doing?
No idea where you're. Did you have a seizure?
Have you had weed?
Are you okay?
Never. Stop asking. Are you a cop?
The left side of your face feel numb.
You guys not remember E-Bombs World?
No.
It was very early internet like video hosting. Really? I'm just aware of it at least.
Yeah, no.
Not ringing a bell or no, it doesn't exist and
no,
I'm high.
No, okay. It exists. It was created by Eric Bauman.
Oh wow! I never even thought about E-bomb. That being a name shortening thing. It was like a very early video hosting site, right?
Yeah. Site was founded in 2001 and features comedy contents like memes, viral videos, images, and other forms of internet culture. Was it Vine before Vine?
No, it was more YouTube before YouTube.
It was YouTube before YouTube. Yeah.
But no, Mads Mikkelsen is playing Grindelwald.
Good actor.
Point is
forward.
Mads Mikkelsen's playing Eric Bauman?
Yes.
Is that what you're telling me?
I
love Mads Mikkelsen. Yeah. Beards, you're absolutely right there.
Yeah.
Big Mads fan. His performance in Death Stranding, which I still haven't finished.
Still?
Truly amazing.
Because it's impossible to finish.
Rudy's Mads about him.
The one thing I can give credit to that game is, like, normally if I've been away from something for that long, like, I just do not remember anymore. I still legitimately remember every, like, second of that game that I played, which does, like, it's credit to it. It's impressive. E-Bombs World has a Twitch channel. Okay, click on that.
Saturday when I was trying to watch KU Baylor, I was looking for the game because it was starting on ESPN News, but I have YouTube TV, so it's not just click one channel up or down or whatever. I had to go try to find it, and what I found instead was that The Crimes of Grindelwald was playing on probably Freeform, and that ended up coming up in conversation with Blake on Sunday.
So E-Bombs World, he does have a Twitch channel. He is verified, and his most recent games that he was playing was Backyard Football 2006.
No kidding!
Yeah.
Wow!
Some BFL Week 3 highlights, or his featured clips.
I said E-Bombs World because it sounds sort of like Grindelwald.
Also Backyard Baseball.
Do I have to explain that again? Did that make sense to everybody? Did you get somebody get the joke?
He was all in on the Backyard. Well, I haven't seen the movie.
But it was just a play on words. Again, I would say don't watch the movie.
Also,
do go find the My Brother and Me bit about it, which was very good.
He's been
better
on
than the
NCAA
movie.
Basketball 10 as well.
I don't think I ever saw the movie, but I have no doubt that it was not very good.
And NHL 15. Guy likes the sports games. And Minecraft.
Does it ever feel like we're doing four separate shows? Which is crazy because there's only three of us. But it feels like sometimes it feels like we're each doing our own show, and then that some of its parts ends up being a fourth show that none of us really want to do.
This guy looks exactly like I would think an Eric Bauman looks like.
Beards, can I get a Celtics Clippers update?
Boston's up 9.
Kawhi's not playing.
In the first quarter or?
Fourth quarter. 5 minutes left.
There we go. I just wanted some more information. We're doing a radio show. Grindelwald.
Yay, Celtics.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the fourth show. Because Rudy just referenced something from 2 hours ago that even I forgot was a bit. That's good. Gerard Dyson's back, baby. Run it back. That's what speed do. Subscribe to Paramount Plus.
Tell me the story.
Only through fog.net. That was the show we were doing during the break, Rudy. We were talking about Harvest Moon and Story of Seasons during the break.
Which, yeah, you blew my mind there. I didn't know that Harvest Moon was actually no longer Harvest Moon, but that Story of Seasons is actually now the Harvest Moon and and Stardew Valley is Animal Crossing?
No, one's not true. Everything you said was true until the Stardew Valley Animal Crossing thing. Animal Crossing is Nintendo. Stardew Valley is an independent developer. And one of Grindelwald's many crimes was stealing the Harvest Moon title away from the Story of Seasons, folks. It's not that hard to keep up with. Please try to hang on, Rudy.
Got it.
You can't spell. Hold on. Harvest Moon, Story of Seasons, Animal Crossing, Stardew Valley without UTEP. Nailed it.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You either listen to the show because you really like the Chiefs or because you really hate sports radio. And I am super cool with either of those reasons.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, during the break, Rudy tried reading me a tweet from Brian Windhorst, and it confused me four separate times. Go ahead.
Yeah, so Brian Windhorst tweeted today that sources tell him that a star in the league might request a trade to the Knicks in the next 12 months.
Maybe.
A star, not anyone in particular,
might
request a trade to the Knicks within the next 12 months.
Correct.
Someone on this show might trip and fall down the stairs and then land in a pile of cash within the next 25 years.
Hopefully it's me.
At the very least, I'll help you trip down the stairs.
If there's we cash can make down that there, happen real fast.
Yeah, that's up to you.
But we'll make that happen tonight.
I can at least help you get the first half of that done. Seth
if you
Kizer,
just keep tripping down the stairs, maybe there'll be cash.
Maybe there'll be cash. Seth Kizer's got cash next.
You are listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.